thunderous roaring, which seemed as if it were vibrating the very marrow of his bones, shaking the core of his being.
She blows! She blows!
Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan could see that his companion had taken up one of the long harpoons and was hefting it in his right hand, just as he'd done on the quayside of Clackardville, what seemed like eons ago. But now his target was not a daub of white paint upon an old door. It was the behemoth itself, the lord over all deep waters.
Hold oars!
The first mate forced his voice over the cauldron of boiling foam and spray that seethed around them.
Now, Master 10 from 10, here be thy chance! Strike!
Ryan was able, now they had no further need of rowing, to glance over his shoulder once more and witness the next and most dramatic act of the murderous play. The towering bastion of living flesh had hardly moved. Its skin was dappled with small shellfish and crusted with strange cancer-like growths. Near the crest of the blunt head, Ryan could see the tiny eye, not dead like that of the great shark that had attacked them on their raft. This eye twinkled with life and with curiosity. The jaws were only just ajar, the sea swilling in and out between the fronds of its teeth. They were nearly close enough to touch it.
In with the lance, Outlander!
Aye, before he sinks us with his fucking tail!
Thanks for the meeting!
Donphil cast the harpoon with all of his power, driving it deep into the whale. By the great hump of muscle behind its head.
Clear of the line, lads!
Og kept one hand on the tiller, using the other to fill a metal dipper with seawater. The thin rope that was attached to the harpoon ran through a notch in the bow of the whaleboat, under the seats of the oarsmen, and around the stubby wooden post called the loggerhead between the feet of the first mate. The line was controllable there, running back into one of the two kegs of coiled rope, hundreds of feet in all, ready to be linked together if the whale should run and run. And in the bow, clipped to a bracket, was a small honed axe. The other task of Donphil was to cut the line if the wounded monster should suddenly decide to dive deep. The ocean thereabouts was of a depth that could lose 1,000 whales. Walsh's harpooner also managed to strike his iron from the other side. Provoked by the stinging pain, the whale exhaled in a gust of noisome air and mist. It began to move, towing the two glories behind it. The third whaleboat hadn't managed to pull in close enough, and was soon left behind.
Ship your oars, or they'll go over the side! Quick, Master Denman, and hold on tight for the Devil's Surfride!
The rope ran out unchecked for the first 100 feet, to give a safer distance between boat and whale. It hissed along, whining as it smoked around the loggerhead, so that Og had to cool it with a pan of water. The vast tail of the creature waved in the air, darkening the day, coming down with a sound that hurt the ears, casting a welter of green water over the pursuing boats. Ryan laughed aloud for the sheer animal pleasure and exhilaration of the chase. The whale was gathering speed, and the Salvation was disappearing fast behind them. Spray danced, and the sun dazzled through it in a burst of prismed colors.
How far will he run, Og?
How's that, Master Deadman? How far will the beast pull us?
Yeah, what if dark comes before it tires?
Aye, we will have it afore night come, Outlander. But I have known a chase with a truly big whale to take a day and a night and a half for the following day. But there was many a barrel of fine oil in that one, I tell thee.
It dives!
Ready to cut! Not until my order, or I'll have thy cock and balls for clock chimes!
As the whale plunged beneath the surface, the day was instantly silent. The rushing, roaring noise of their mad progress was stopped, and the two whaleboats floated serenely, only a few yards away from each other, while gulls cried out above their heads. Walsh stood in the stern, watching the line as it continued to race out over the bow.
How deep, Mr. Og?
Our iron went deep and true, Mr. Walsh. How went thine?
Deep and true.
Then I think we shall see him again shortly, as he tries to rid himself of the pesky barbs that hold him to us.
Cyrus Og poured more water over the smoldering line. Donphil leaned far out, shading his eyes against the reflection of the sun on the water.
He's diving more shallow.
Shows he's tiring fast. Ready to haul in the line, lad, soon as he broaches again. Outlander, thou must coil it as it comes, to keep all neat and unclogged in the keg there.
Aye.
Quiet and silent. Soundless it is. No sound, no noise. Still as death. Still as snow. Still as sleep. And still as dark.
Still as thou, Yeho, or you can swim back to the ship.
Here he comes. The birds know it.
Haul in! Haul in! Where away, 10 from 10? Tell me that!
Close. The rope's gone slack, but I can't. Isun! It's right!
The world exploded. Brian was hanging onto the side of the boat, and the whale surfaced so near that its skin grazed his knuckles. It erupted clear into the air, hanging for an unbelievable, impossible moment of frozen time. Then it crashed down, its tail catching the other whale boat a glancing blow as it dove again. The frail little craft was overturned, spilling men and oars and line into the sea.
Cut thy line and save the boat, Walsh!
Once again, they were off in a flurry of white spray. But this time, Ryan could detect a slowing in the exertions of the great creature. Then their forward motion stopped once more, and Donphil again peered over the bow.
Going back beneath us!
Out oars and spin her on a nailhead! Quick, for our lives!
Ryan grabbed at his oar, fumbling it into position, and obeying the order to backwater, while the men on the other side tugged with all their strength. The tiller went hard over, and the cockle shell darted around like a mayfly. Once they were facing in the right direction, Og ordered them to ship oars again and pull in the slack line, so that they would be close into the whale when next it surfaced.
Hit for the men in the water!
The rolling mountain of the beast's hump broke the surface about 50 feet in front of them, jerking them onward. As the first mate had said, the whale was making for the other boat. Walsh and the two other crewmen had clambered back into it and were now bailing it empty, but the other five men were still floundering some distance away. The sun was bright, showing the streams of crimson blood that flowed down the sides of the whale, spouting from the two irons in its flanks. And the Salvation, all sail crowded on, was bearing down on them. Ryan watched as the beast came closer, heading toward Jacob Lusk, one of the fattest members of the crew, building up more speed. Its jaws were open, funneling the ocean between its rows of teeth. And the sailor vanished into the gaping suction of its jaws.
Widowed wife and fatherless children.
As though its spasm of savage revenge had exhausted it, the whale slowed down once more, half turning so that it presented its side to Donphil's harpoon. The Indian had taken out a longer lance, ready for the killing lunge. Once again, sitting still in the gently rocking boat, Ryan glimpsed the whale's little eye, rolling toward him. It was shot with blood, seeming both resigned and fearful. For a fraction of eternity, it locked onto Ryan's own eye. Ryan couldn't say what it was that he saw in that eye, but it made him gasp and shudder.
Deep as the deepest well.
Donphil stood poised like a statue, the harpoon gripped in both hands. Then he drove it at the whale's skin. The razored head and the first 2.5 feet of the shaft vanished, and more blood jetted out, pattering on the cold water. Some of it splashed on Ryan's arm and neck, startling him with its heat.
Again, 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 again.
Donphil, lips pulled off his strong white teeth in a ferocious vulpine snarl, stabbed the iron in again and again, twisting it around to deepen the wound. Ryan saw the light go out in the whale's eye as its life slipped away. Suddenly, it was no more than a floating carcass. All Ryan wanted to do was to claw his way up the rope ladder dangling from the side of the Salvation, stagger to his bunk, strip off his sodden clothes, and climb between the thin gray blankets and sleep for a week. But there was much to be done, miles of work to put behind him before he could rest. The survivors of Walsh's boat had to be helped to safety, and then lines had to be made fast to